Those I had travelled earlier, cracked and twisted like strips of toffee, apt to end abruptly in mid-span as they crossed a flooded abyss, or simply to plunge into the flood itself. It was dark, and I had to constantly watch my footing. Waverley had done me a kind of favour, dimming the interior lights as we dropped, so that my eyes had at least accustomed themselves to the darkness, but I didn't feel an overwhelming rush of gratitude. I ran, glancing over my shoulder to watch the cable cars as they sank lower, dropping behind the closest structures. The vehicles were close enough now that I could see their occupants. For some reason, I'd assumed that only the man and the woman would be chasing me, but obviously this wasn't the case. Maybe, in the way these things were handled in the network, it was just their turn to find a victim, and I had strolled blithely into their plans. Was this how I was going to die? I thought. I'd nearly died dozens of times in the war, dozens more times while working for Kaweya. Ryvich had tried to kill me at least twice, and had nearly succeeded on both occasions. But if I hadn't managed to have survived any of those earlier brushes with death, I would at least have admitted some grudging respect for my adversaries, a sense that I had chosen to do battle with them and thereby accepted whatever fate had in mind for me. But I hadn't chosen anything like this. Seek shelter, I thought. There were buildings all around me, even if it wasn't immediately clear how to get inside any of them. My movements would be limited once I was inside, but if I stayed outside, there would be plenty of opportunities for the chasers to get a clear shot at me. And I clung to the idea, unsupported by any evidence, that the implanted transmitter might not function so well if I was concealed. I also had a suspicion that close combat was not the kind of endgame my pursuers really wanted, that they would rather shoot me from a distance, crossing open ground. If so, I was more than happy to disappoint them, even if it only bought me minutes. Up to my knees in water, I waded as quickly as I could to the unlit side of the nearest building, a fluted structure which climbed for 700 or 800 meters above my head before turning mutant, fanning out into the canopy. Unlike some of the other structures I had seen, this one had suffered considerable damage at street level, punctured and holed like a lightning-struck tree. Some of the apertures were only niches, but others must reach deeper, into the structure's dead heart, from where I might be able to access higher levels. Light scythed across the ruined exterior, harsh and blue. Crouching into the flood so that my chest was fully submerged and the stench almost unbearable, I waited for the searchlight to complete its business. I could hear voices now, raised like a pack of jackals in musk. Man-shaped patches of utter blackness flitted between the closest buildings, beckoning each other, arms laden with those instruments of murder permitted by the game. A few desultory shots rained against the building, dislodging shards of calcified masonry into the flood. Another patch of light began sweeping the side, grazing only inches above my head. My breathing, labored as it was by the pressure of the filthy water, was like a barking weapon itself. I sucked in air and lowered myself into the flood. I could see nothing, of course, but that was hardly a handicap. Relying on touch, I skirted my fingers against the building's side until I found a place where the wall curved abruptly in. I heard more shots, transmitted through the water, and more splashes. I wanted to vomit, but then I remembered the smile of the man who had arranged for my capture, and realized I wanted him to die first. Fischetti, and then Sibylline. Then I'd kill Waverley while I was at it, and piece by piece I'd dismantle